together. This message presented by the NDHSAA and the North Dakota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You are on the lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton and the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Hey, good morning. We've been talking about this. I'm wound up. I'm giddy. I've been excited for this segment. We are on the lot with Ward Catering from Vision Ford. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, Bill. How are you? Good morning.
Well, I'm doing great. This is going to be a regular segment Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you've got some exciting stuff. You stopped in last week. We were talking about things. You've got some exciting stuff, some kind of groundbreaking stuff coming up at Vision Ford.
We really do, and we're excited to team up with you and find a fun way to share it, make it informal but simple and and easy to understand. So, yeah, we're really excited.
Let's get into a little background, okay, about because you were explaining this to me. I was fascinated by it. Tell us a little bit about kind of the beginnings of the Ford company.
Yeah, so what I was thinking, again, to keep it a little bit informal, is to kind of share some of the obvious. So Ford Motor Company was started back in 1903. Obviously, Henry Ford built some vehicles before, but the conception of the business was 1903. What's interesting is a lot of people know Model A, Model T. But there were vehicles every letter between there. So there were 20 models he built. Very few of them actually made it to production or made it on the street. But he made 20 vehicles in his time. So it's interesting, you know, where we started, where we're at, and for sure where we're going, which is why you and I are chatting today. But to have 20 different models in a relatively short period is pretty amazing, because the franchise concept started in 1914. So he took and basically developed a dealer network to compete against each other to elevate the service, increase sales, availability of parts and accessories, just like we do today. So that world really hasn't changed a lot. But what was interesting, about two Fridays ago, I had a great opportunity to sit down with our current CEO. And his name is Jim Farley. And yes, Chris Farley is his cousin. So we get that out of the way early.
Okay.
But Jim Farley was an interesting guy. And he shared a story and kind of an analogy of where we have to go as dealers with our team in this dealership and also with the public. And he shared the concept and idea of, you know, back in the day, especially when the dealer body came into play in 1914, is that they had to educate the public between the true horse and buggy and the internal combustion engine, ICE as we call it today. But that's a big transition.
Huge back then, yeah.
You know, a lot of concerns and analogies can go back and forth. The horse and buggy, you got to feed the horse, right? You have some situations there. They understood how to deal with that. When we got into the ICE engine, the internal combustion, there's a lot of concerns. Well, where do we get whatever we're going to use to make it go? In our world, the petroleum, the fuel, the gas. So there was that whole infrastructure issue that was a concern, and it needed to be figured out. They certainly didn't do it overnight, but it obviously worked out really, really well for not only the public, but just in general. So he brought that analogy to share with us, because here we are today in 2024. We're here today to talk about EVs, electric vehicles, and different variations of that. But the public has a lot of concern over that, too. You know, where are the charging stations? How many are there? Can I get to grandma's on Thanksgiving?
How does it work?
How does it work?
How does it work?
Where do I plug it in?
Right.
How does the power get there? Do I have to pay for it? A lot of people ask the question, literally, do I pay for it? And how do I pay for it? These charging stations are going in just like filling stations, as they call them in the day, or gas stations today. We're actually seeing charging stations in our current convenience stores. Ford last year teamed up with Tesla, and we basically converted everything to the Tesla plug, in layman's terms. So it was like the old days, the Beta and the VHS,
right? Sure, right, right.
Who's going to win? The reason that everybody is starting to follow Ford is they have a great base out there already. And quite honestly, Tesla needs Ford too, because the relationship requires that everybody work together and to get one charging and to make it very universally available. So it's gone really well. We're going to see converters for everybody that bought from us already, and they're free. So we're happy to help with anybody with that. And the simplicity of doing it is there now. The charging is fast. Everybody worries, do I have to sit at a quote-unquote gas station?
That was my question. You know, how long is it going to take to charge this thing up?
Yeah, so the charging, depending on the vehicle, but you can go from 15% to 80%, which is kind of where you live in the EV charging. Rarely do you go over the 80%. It's kind of like the initial days of a cell phone. You don't want to sit there and max them out and charging all the time. Or a lot of the new electric inverter generators are exactly the same way. They're programmed to stop charging at 80%. So even that industry, we've gone away from the gas generator that you buy at Home Depot. Now you can buy an electric that we can regenerate through solar, or if push comes to shove, you hook a gas generator up to it to do that. So it's the same situation. You can go from 15 to 80% in about 34 minutes. Is that perfect for everybody? No, nor is an EV vehicle. So I'm not here to convince everybody that EV is the only way to go. I'm here to just start the education and to introduce that EV is really for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not going away. There's all kinds of state and federal laws. It's not going away. It certainly slowed down for a little while. But we locally here, we're seeing the sales go up actually pretty quick again here in the last few weeks, or at least the interest.
Seems to keep growing.
It does. And it's really a simple, fun concept. Imagine going home and plugging your vehicle in, doing your thing, eating, sleeping, all the normal. Tomorrow, your vehicle's full, right? You don't have to go to the gas station when it's 25 mile an hour winds or 25 below zero in our world. You don't have those challenges. Every day you go to work, you go to school, the church, wherever you're going, you have a full tank, quote unquote, again, of electricity power to get you where you want to go. So that ownership side is incredibly simple. And on top of that, envision having a warm car. Envision having a cool car, Bill, so you don't have to go out and start it, get your remote start, any of that stuff. You can program your car, and it warms up inside your garage if you are, or if it's parked out in the street. Nobody can steal it. It's designed to do this. It's pretty amazing. The simplicity is absolutely amazing.
That was the other question that I've heard, Ward. How does this work with our winters? How does it work with our summers?
Yeah, so again, let's look at that. So let's go to the basics. We have a nice, toasty, warm car in the winter. We can do the same thing, cool it down during the summer. Everybody asks, well, you know, the range goes down. It really does. I mean, anybody be kidding if they didn't tell you that. But it's not as dramatic as an internal combustion engine. So whatever you're driving, when it's 25 below zero, you lose fuel economy big time. That car is having a hard time getting hot enough to make the combustion efficient and effective. So the battery just doesn't do that as much. Ironically, people are surprised to hear heat is a bigger enemy than cold.
No kidding.
Yep. So the batteries that we sell, they're all heated, so they're preconditioned. So when it's horribly cold, it's taking care of itself. So we're not going to have a battery freeze or anything happen.
Right.
During the summer, same thing. It's cooling itself down, so we're not overheating it. So the cars are incredibly intelligent. Envision never going and getting your oil changed. Now, of all people to say that,
here you are saying it.
Yeah, you don't have to take time out of your day, out of your life, to go get the oil changed. Bill, there's 40% fewer parts in an electric vehicle. So you, in your own mind, can take that to where if there's that many fewer parts, the chances of having failures or recalls, right? We live in a recall world.
Boy, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we can slow that process down or eliminate it in a lot of situations. So, again, simplicity of ownership is it's there. The heat is an issue, but it's not a problem. Every year they're changing, they're designing them. The batteries are not one big battery. They're basically cells, and if there's a failure, the vehicle knows that, hey, again, I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but row 2, number 8 is beginning to fail. The vehicles can continue the function, but when you bring it into a dealer, we can replace just that cell.
Okay.
So there's a little more to it, but it's becoming more and more simple like that every day. So again, from a maintenance ownership, there's so much less to deal with. It's pretty fun and amazing.
It's 9:47. We've got sunshine and 13 degrees. We are on the lot with Ward Cater, and we're titling this our Back to the Future.
I like it.
Addition here, because it really is the parallels that you brought up. I mean, they hold up today too, from back when the horse and buggy to internal combustion to where we're at right now. And you're right; it is all about education.
Yeah, it's spot on. It's just a slower process, but we need to start learning. Mm-hmm. We need to help share that with the public, and I'm learning every day too. Trust me.
I was going to ask, you know, what? Yeah. How exciting has this been for you and your staff, because I would imagine this is updated daily.
You know, I love it. A few months back, one of my managers and I went out of town to a Ford training session for about 3 days, and it was amazing. It's a whole new outlook on things. We're learning who the customer is, and it's different. Again, it's not for everybody, but it's for a lot of us, and it's probably for most of us. But just understanding, again, transitioning from that horse and buggy to today, it is fun. It is exciting. And it gets better every day and easier to own. So,
well, and that's the beauty of this, too. You know, change is it can be a little scary.
Yeah.
But again, once you get into this, and because, my question is, how am I going to deal with a car that's far more intelligent than I am? And it's like, no, actually,
it's a daily battle,
you're still the one running this. But I just see this as such a great window into the future here and where we're going.
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to touch on, and I'd love to hear from anybody who has questions. We don't know. We'll do the best to get the answer for you. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest question is charging stations. Everybody worries about how many charging stations. In round numbers, Minnesota and North Dakota have roughly 1,500 available. Now, when we add in the Tesla, that number is growing exponentially, and it's growing constantly. Even locally here, we're going to put in about 15 chargers at the dealership. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 4 that are available for customers for high-speed charging. And the rest we're going to have for service and sales-related things. But keep in mind, 80% of the customers that buy a vehicle are charging at home. Okay? And the average person drives a little over 30 miles a day. You know, that'll vary a little bit in our world.
Mm-hmm.
But still, even if you double that, you're still able to drive roughly a week without charging it. But you're going to come home every night and just out of habit, plug it in and have it fresh and ready to go later that evening or tomorrow morning. Again, the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about how many are out there. You know, I always told my kids, don't worry about what you can't control. But the fact that they're going to be everywhere shortly. The federal government is putting hundreds of thousands of these out there on the interstates. They're going to be every 50 miles within 5 miles of the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge federal commitment to this. It's not something we're just going to try. And when those come into play, it's more of a mental security than reality.
Right. No, I'm following you here.
Yeah. And again, I always use the example, when you're going to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, you know how to get there. But if you put her address in the vehicle is going to get you there. So it's going to take into consideration everything, the speed, how much you loaded down to go to grandma's, you know, what their range is, where the closest charging stations are.
Right.
It's not going to get you into trouble. Mm-hmm. The car is that smart. So there's an extra step to put grandma's address in, but at least you're going to know exactly and you have peace of mind that it's going to get you to a charging station. You can pick which one you want. Maybe you want to go a little bit further because that's a favorite convenience store. Whatever the situation is, the car is going to be there for you, or the vehicle in general. So it's amazing, Bill.
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Well, and again, information that the car is going to give you, information that the dealership is going to give you. The more information that comes down, the less worried people are going to be about this, which is why I'm glad we're doing this segment twice a week.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really appreciate the opportunity. And there's just so much to share and learn. We want to come out with baby steps. But
right.
we would love people to come out and just touch the car, drive them. We have probably a dozen of them in stock, so they're obtainable. It's not something down the road, some futuristic vehicle. They're here.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them. Ask us questions. Give us your concerns. Again, we're not here to sell them to you. We're here to help you understand them to see if it's a fit for you.
Absolutely. Back to the Future on the Lot with Ward Cater. I love this. We're going to have different segments and different titles for every segment we do here every Tuesday and Thursday. Ward, pleasure having you in here to get this thing kicked off.
Hey, Bill, if there's somebody that's willing to come out and see us today.
Yeah.
Come ask one of the salespeople or management about something called one pedal.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a little challenge out there.
Okay.
You can look it up. You can come see us, experience it firsthand. It's an option, a feature that's amazing. And I'm going to leave a little bit of a cliffhanger because it's worth your time and energy. It's something that differentiates the EV, the electric vehicle, from our traditional ICE vehicles. Check it out. There's some fun to be had, too.
All right. And I want to remind you folks, too, if you do have any questions, I urge you to email those questions to studio@kbmwnews.com, and every Tuesday and Thursday we're going to get the answers to these questions, too. And if you missed any of this, it's going to be available in podcast form on our website early this afternoon. Ward, it's a pleasure, and we will talk to you, and we'll catch up on Tuesday, all right?
We'll talk Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Sounds great. It's 9:54 at the Voice of the Valley.
You have been on the Lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton. On the Lot with Ward, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:40 at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman of the Market Update. Well, soybean futures dropped as harvest in Brazil continues to push forward and signs of some slack demand for U.S. supplies. Brazilian farmers now have 66% of their soybeans. Production in the 2024-2025 marketing year is now projected at 157.5 million metric tons. That is up almost 5 million tons from the previous year. Exports from Brazil, the world's largest shipper of soybeans, will total 99 million metric tons. In the U.S., meanwhile, soybean exports since the start of the marketing year, September 1st, now at 35.5 million metric tons. That is down 18% from the same time last year. Numbers right now, soybeans, May were down 6.5 at 1186. July is down 6.75 at 1199.75. Corn market, May is up 1.25 now at 428. July's up 1.25 at 440.5. Wheat market, Chicago, May unchanged at 547.5. Minneapolis, May down 1.25 at 649.75. And Kansas City, May down 0.25 at 578. Canola, May is down 450 Canadian at 622.70. Soybean meal, May is down 410 at 334.90. Soybean oil, May up 1 at 47.68. We'll check the livestock and the outside markets after this.
The conservative choice for governor, Tammy Miller. A business leader like Trump and Burgum, Tammy Miller was the first candidate to endorse Trump because Tammy Miller knows Trump's agenda is right for North Dakota. Under Trump, our border was secure. As a pro-Trump governor, Tammy Miller will make crystal clear, North Dakota will never be a sanctuary state for lawbreakers. Under Trump, law enforcement had backup. With Tammy Miller as governor, North Dakota law enforcement will have a back-the-blue law and order conservative in Bismarck. Under Trump, the Second Amendment was protected. As a teenager, Tammy Miller guarded the family store with a shotgun. She's not afraid to stand up to liberal gun grabbers to defend our gun rights. And under President Trump, America was energy independent. Tammy Miller says North Dakota will lead the way, expanding energy production even more. Pro-Trump conservative outsider for governor, Tammy Miller. Paid for by Tammy Miller for North Dakota. Wendy Cater, treasurer.
Livestock numbers here. April live cattle up 37 at 183.97. Feeder cattle, March is down 52, 247.52. Lean hogs, April up 20 at 86.30. Outside markets, crude is up $1, 82.30.